Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to take a look at a very interesting lawsuit. Paul Enos has the rundown.
Sam, the question is, should public employees be precluded from serving in a legislature? Attorney Joe Becker will be here to discuss that.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Marsha Burt Bigler and Heidi Smith. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Joseph Becker. He is Chief Legal Officer and Senate Director for the Center for Justice and Constitutional Litigation, part of MPRI. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks for having us.
Quoting David McGrath Schwartz from the Las Vegas Sun, you filed a lawsuit last week to remove a public employee from a legislature. You argued that serving as an elected member of the legislative branch while working for the executive branch violates the Constitution's separation of powers. For those that may not be aware of this, explain your position.
Well, you misquoted a little bit. We're not suing to remove someone from the legislature. We're suing to say that someone who's in the legislature can't hold a position in the state executive branch. So basically what we have...
But that's what he would accomplish.
Not necessarily. We don't ask for that in the relief. What we ask for in the relief is that the person who's holding the civil service job be let go so our client can have that position, which is unconstitutionally held.
And that's a difference in the way that similar lawsuits have been filed in the past, but that's the difference in this particular lawsuit.
Right. Back in 2004, Dean Heller, when he was Secretary of State, sued to have legislators removed from the legislature and the with the same separation of powers argument. And the Nevada Supreme Court said, in order to enforce the separation of powers clause to remove someone, we would actually have to violate it because only the legislature has the right to decide who gets to sit in the legislature, and we would be violating the separation of powers in order to enforce it. They went on to say the way to attack this important question of law is to have someone who wants the civilian job or the civil service job of that legislator and sue to get that job.
And the person we're referring to here would be Mo Dennis, who's likely to be the majority leader if he's allowed to serve in the state Senate next time around. He's a computer technician with the PUC.
Right. He'd be allowed to serve. The question is, will he still be with the PUC? Right.
So this is a much more focused, much more narrow lawsuit than lawsuits that have been brought up in the past, since this is directly against Senator Dennis. If he decides to retire or resign from his position, does that make this lawsuit moot?
I would argue no. I think it's one of those cases that's capable of repetition, and if people could just quit and get rehired the next day, and then we don't really address the question of law. So, I mean, it would with respect to Dennis, but we also named the state of Nevada and the Nevada Public Utilities Commission as defendants. And, of course, the goal is to stop Nevada from hiring in its executive branch people who are also serving in the legislature.
Now, there have been some criticisms. This is mainly focused at Democrats. There's 10 public employees in the legislature. Two of them are Republican. Eight are Democrats. This is a nonpartisan lawsuit, correct?
That's correct. Yes, if someone is interested in one of the positions held by the Republicans, I would encourage them to contact us and perhaps we can do something.
So you could end up filing to get rid of every public employee in the legislature. You would have to file 10 different specific, narrowly focused lawsuits.
Yeah, I don't think so, but it, you know, to make the point that we're not, you know, this isn't a partisan thing. I mean, as it turns out, you know, the people who are working for the government do tend to be more Democrat than Republican in this case. But I don't think that's necessary, again, because with Nevada named as a defendant, if we get a judgment that says the state of Nevada can't hire in its executive branch people who are also sitting in the legislature, then we think that solves the problem. But at the same time, if for some reason we needed to bring a suit against a Republican to make the point, we certainly would have done that as well.
Okay, how would this play out? If you win in court, how does this play out? Do people automatically have to make a decision right then and there whether they're going to quit their daytime job or quit being a legislator, or does it go to the legislature for them to be able to deal with it?
I suppose that would depend in part on exactly how the court decides. I mean, if I were to try and predict, you know, there'd be a judgment that says that the Constitution prohibits the state of Nevada executive branch from hiring legislators.
Can we talk about that language for a second? Can you tell us what Article 3, Section 1 of the Nevada Constitution says, just to make it clear what we're actually focusing on?
Sure, I can do that. Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution reads, quote, "The powers of the government of the state of Nevada shall be divided into three separate departments, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial, and no persons charged with the exercise of powers properly belonging to one of these departments shall exercise any functions pertaining to either of the others."
And so it's the any functions, that's really what we're getting down to, because there's people making arguments, even though Mr. Dennis is working for an executive branch agency, he doesn't have any executive authority. He is a computer technician for the PUC, but you guys are suing on the basis of any functions.
Well, that's what the Constitution reads. And I guess the point I would think is important is that it's not even necessarily his job as a computer technician or what he does, although there's some great Supreme Court language that says any function means any function from a 67 case. But he's still a government employee, and as he sits in the legislature and makes decisions about funding PERS or the employment retirement system, then perhaps it's more his role as a legislator and also being a government employee.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Joseph Becker when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The holiday race for cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
Are you tired of check cashing fees? Bounce checks and overdraft fees driving you crazy? Introducing the AccountNow prepaid Visa card. AccountNow provides the perfect alternative to a checking account without the hassles and hidden overdraft or bounce check fees.
Before I found AccountNow, payday was a major hassle.
With AccountNow, I don't have to worry about overdraft fees.
With 100% approval and no credit check, call AccountNow today.
Call 1-800-794-3971.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Get in the holiday race for cash this November at the Carson Valley Inn. Win up to $20,000 in cash every week. It's your place to play and win. The holiday race for cash, only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Joseph Becker, Chief Legal Officer and Center Director for the Center for Justice and Constitutional Litigation.
Now, there is an argument made, and you just made it earlier, about public employees serving in the legislature, that they get to determine what happens with their own compensation as far as purse contributions, as far as raises for the government or tax increases. Right now, they declare a conflict. They say that they do have a conflict, but it's no greater than anybody else's, so they're still able to vote on the issue. People in the private sector, they also declare conflicts. They usually don't vote. If you were able to say, okay, government employees serving in the legislature, you have to declare a conflict and you cannot vote on that matter, do you think that would go towards addressing the issues that you've identified?
Yeah, we'd go towards that, but we're trying to enforce a constitutional provision that seems very clear, and even minor encroachments on that very important separation of powers principle, I think, are a problem, as the court said in 67 in the Truesdell case.
Now, what was that?
It's just a case where the Supreme Court, I think, first addressed the separation of powers clause and talked about how it's fundamental to preserving liberty. And it was a case where the legislature, we've seen this recently, actually, where the legislature had sort of punted to the court some sort of a duty of, with respect to marriage licenses. I don't have the facts completely clear, but there's some great language in there where they address the importance of the separation of powers clause and why even small encroachments are, is sort of the beginning of the end of responsible government.
I realize that you're going to just hone right back in onto this one specific case now that you're dealing with, but with the citizen legislature, aren't these kind of problems inherent?
I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I mean, the idea is to keep people who are on the receiving end of government most directly from sitting in the legislature. And of course, remember, there's a gift clause, which sort of touches on your point. I think it's Article 8, Section 9 of the Constitution, which says, as a legislator, you can't bestow gifts upon specific corporations and entities unless they're charitable. So there's even a clause to deal with the private sector conflicts that you're talking about.
Okay, but I mean, for example, you have, and I'll use Senator Raggio as an example because he's no longer in the legislature, but he works for one of the largest law firms in the state that does a considerable amount of lobbying. Is there any area that constitutionally he would have a problem or people like him that would have a problem?
He's not actually voting as the legislators do.
I'm trying to use an example lobbyist, because there are other people. I don't want to pick on anybody in particular.
Okay.
Senator Raggio, I hold above reproach.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that, the governor, for example, when he left his job with the court, went and worked for Jones Vargas in the interim while he was running for governor. Aren't there, I'm not saying anything negative about any of these people. I'm just saying, isn't there the potential for inherent conflicts of interest just because of the way our legislature is set up and, being a citizen legislature?
I mean, there's the potential for that, but again, The Article 3, Section 1 deals with the people, and there's, you know, bestowing benefits upon themselves as government employees. There's the gift clause, which deals with, you know, preferences, gifts to private entities that may be a problem. And then there's also Article 4, Section 8, which stops the legislature from creating positions for themselves when they get out. So, I mean, there are a lot of protections, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, we're trying to enforce them.
But the one that you're dealing with talks about branches of government, and this lawsuit focuses on the executive branch. Now, many people will argue that as an attorney, you are a sworn officer of the court. That's the third branch of government, the judicial branch. Would you foresee a lawsuit like this precluding an attorney from serving in the legislature, since they are a sworn officer of the court and they would be functioning in that third branch of government?
I wouldn't foresee that, but I mean, it's something I, you know, it's not something I've given a lot of thought to. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a comprehensive response for you, but intuitively, I wouldn't think so, but it's something I'd be willing to think about.
I have an attorney who is works for the government, Jason Frierson. He's a legislator. He works for the Public Defender's Office in Clark County.
Right. That's a little bit clearer. In fact, we have someone here in Reno who works for the judicial branch.
Senator Sheila Leslie.
Right, exactly. That's a little bit clearer, I would say, because they're actually paid by the government itself, or one of the branches of the government.
Are you looking at other areas of potential unconstitutionality, like the Interim Finance Committee? There's been a lot of questions raised about that.
We haven't had anyone approach us about that. We are looking at other constitutional infringements, both at the state and federal level.
When do you expect the Supreme Court to hear this?
I don't know. It depends on, you know, we need an answer. We need an answer from the defendants first, and we're at the trial court, right? So I'm not sure.
So this would begin in district court?
Yes, it's been filed in the first district.
First district court. That's where, you know, they've had a lot of fun stuff to handle this last year.
Well, the state statutes say that when you sue government, it's either where the incident occurred or in Carson City. So that's the way it's going to work out.
Well, Joseph, this is a fascinating topic. It'll be very interesting to see how this works itself out. And we thank you so much for being here to explain it to all of us.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Clock is ticking away. The great going-out-of-business sale at Robin's House of Furniture in Susanville continues. But time is running out. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to transform your home for the holidays at a fraction of the price. Prices have been slashed on all fine furniture, mattress sets, leather, and acres of flooring. No price beats a going-out-of-business price, and we are proving it to everyone who walks through these doors. The clock is ticking away on this once-in-a-lifetime going-out-of-business sale at Robin's House of Furniture and Carpet One Floor and Home. After 36 years, closing the doors and going out of business forever.
We love locals because we are local. The Eldorado's having a buffet blowout. Monday through Thursday, breakfast $6.99, lunch $7.99, and dinner $10.99.
Right now, Internet has over 500 pre-owned vehicles in our multi-lot inventory, and we must sell down or face serious penalties. For a limited time, get $4,000 push, pull, or drag for your trade-in, or $4,000 cash assistance towards negative equity on your trade. Buy with no money down, no payments till February, and get payments as low as $149 per month. You can even get $1,000 Christmas cash with every purchase. It's the December year-end sell-off only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
Get ready for the holidays with one stop at Home Treasures Marketplace. The best for gifts, holiday and home decor, and consignment furnishings. Located in the Carson Mall.
Download the MyNews 4 app at the iTunes App Store or the Android Market today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we just want to mention here in passing that Jeff Simpson, who was a great reporter, covered the gaming industry in Las Vegas and was an expert in that area, among many other topics. He died Saturday following complications from emergency heart surgery on Thanksgiving. He was only 51 years old. We want to send condolences to his family. He was a good friend of this program and of me personally, and he was always a great person to be able to call and get the lowdown on what was really going on in the gaming world. Jeff Simpson will be missed. We have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Heidi Smith, National Committee Woman for the Republican Party, and Marsha Burke, Breedler, partner with Nevada Business Strategies. Pleasure to have you both here on the program. So let's discuss what was just discussed previously in our last segment with this whole conflict of interest deal.
Well, it was an interesting discussion. Interesting because we had just been discussing the NPRI suit before and how it would impact the state from the broad perspective of who's serving in the legislature. You know, in a small state like Nevada, it is interesting that you have a constitution that says you can't cross over and serve in both in two branches of government because it's such a small state. And we have a limited number of people who are going to even attempt to serve the legislature. But I, you know, if that's what the Constitution says, I can see some logic to it. I do wonder, though, if there's ever the opportunity to say you couldn't serve if you were an attorney, as you spoke. I think that's that wouldn't be the case. But
Heidi,
I have never appreciated the fact that this person gets their paycheck from two branches of government. I think there's a major conflict of interest there, and I go along with NPRI on their lawsuit.
Let's talk about the GOP hopefuls. The Review Journal headline said all GOP hopefuls file for state caucus, putting up $10,000 apiece, including Herman Cain. Any refunds?
The day that we got Herman Cain's check was the day he was going to decide, so we immediately went to the bank. We cashed it and spent it. And the next day, he decided to step down. Now, he's not out of the race. He will be on our ballot because he paid the $10,000, but no refunds. You give us the money, that's it.
Now, I'm sorry.
Heidi, where do the Herman Cain supporters in Nevada go? You look, Romney's probably got the best ground game here.
He does.
Of all the candidates. Where do the people who are on the Cain train now put their support in Nevada, and who do you think that's going to help here the most?
Actually, they're going to the unemployment line, and that'll take them some time. Herman... There aren't that many people. I think they will be divided among, Rick Santorum. He gave his money, but...
For those listening on the radio, Heidi just raised her eyebrows at that.
I have to stop making facial expressions here. Actually, I think they'll divide between Newt Gingrich and Romney, but Romney has the ground force and Newt does not.
Okay, does it surprise you that Newt is in the position he is in now as the front runner?
Nothing ever surprises me in politics anymore. He's a brilliant man. I've met him on many occasions. He's extremely smart. I knew the original campaign that walked out on him because they didn't have control of his wife. It's going to be an interesting campaign because the money's not there. It's coming in, but Mitt Romney has had a steady rise. And I think Mitt Romney will end up winning a portion of Nevada. But you have to remember, we are now proportionate. So we could send half of our delegates for Mitt Romney and another half of the delegates for Newt Gingrich and another half of the delegates for Ron Paul.
You're the only person that could come up with three halves.
Right.
Marcia, your thoughts?
I think it goes to Mitt Romney. And true, since we do have a split delegate now, we could go both ways. But I think it goes to Mitt Romney. I find it interesting that the way Herman Cain stepped down, if you will, he didn't say I'm withdrawing my race for the presidential campaign. He said I'm suspending it, which still means he's eligible for federal funding that goes to presidential campaigns. It still means he can continue to collect money because he actually could come back and say, okay, my campaign is no longer suspended. I don't know how he wins under that scenario, and I think he's damaged goods now, which is perhaps too bad on a lot of levels, but it is what it is, and I think the nominee is Mitt Romney.
Now, we see Mitt Romney fluctuate, you know, kind of up and down, you know, either number one, number two, maybe in some cases even number three. You look, we've had Michelle Bachmann, we have had
Rick Perry, we have
had Herman Cain, now Newt Gingrich. Anybody else do you think is going to be able to swoop in the last few months and get that front runner status? John Huntsman?
I don't think so.
No, he has no money.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we're looking at who the two major candidates are now are Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Can I ask just one quick question? We're almost out of time here. Do you think that with the lack of advertising dollars being spent in the state and the lack of campaigns being in the state, that Nevada ended up getting screwed by moving from third to fifth place?
No, not really. I mean, we're still a small state. They haven't recognized us yet. I didn't want to move into January because it's so cold here. Nobody would have shown up. I think we're fine where we are. February 4th.
But the Democrats took such an advantage by being third, you know, 4 years ago.
I don't think we're... It's one of the things that people say, no, can't happen. But I truly believe we're going to go to Tampa, Florida, with no clear presence as to who's going to win. I think it's going to be that close. And the fight will take place like it did in 1976 on the floor.
All right,
in the hockey.
Remember, the Republicans lost that year.
Okay, now, you didn't have to say that.
We're out of time. We'll be right back.
Scott Harum says anytime fitness helped him get his life back and become a better father.
What do you think about that and getting healthy?
Become the person you want to be at Anytime Fitness.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
At Career College of Northern Nevada, we take pride in the tremendous amount of success our graduates attain.
I have recommended it to many of my friends.
I would definitely recommend a CCNN student to other companies.
CCNN offers career training programs and associate degree programs to prepare you for a successful and fulfilling career.
I chose CCNN because I wanted something short and quick. They helped me with placement in the job that I have today. They pretty much pushed me.
You'll receive hands-on training that gives you the experience employers are looking for. Our goal is to ensure you can enter a career training program to help you achieve your educational and personal goals.
I have three kids and I really needed income.
I feel very successful and I owe everything to Career College of Northern Nevada.
If you'd like to begin a new career in health information technology or any of CCNN's programs, and if you're ready to be our next success story, call now.
Scott Harum says anytime fitness helped him get his life back and become a better father.
What do you think about that and getting healthy?
Become the person you want to be at Anytime Fitness.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow we're going to be talking to David Siegel, the Consul General of Israel.
Right here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.